Let us ready ourselves for worship with a word from the ancient prophet Isaiah. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." Let us unite in prayer. Father, in thy mysterious presence kneeling, fain would our souls feel all thy kindling love. For we are weak and need some strong revealing of trust and strength and calmness from above. And so wilt thou speak to us thy word, which not only judges us, but also heals and redeems us, that we may speak this saving word to others. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen. It is my privilege to introduce our speaker, Dr. Robert H. Culpepper, who is missionary to Japan, a professor at Seinon Gakuin University, where I myself used to live and work. Dr. Culpepper and his wife have been on our campus for a brief time and very soon will be returning after an emergency leave to their work in Fukuoka, Japan. Dr. Culpepper is a native of Georgia, graduate of Mercer University, and has degrees from the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky, including the Doctor of Theology degree. I have known Dr. Culpepper and worked with him for many years, and know, for one thing, which is comfort to me, that he is the only professor I have found who is more absent-minded than I am. On one occasion, he actually traveled for several miles on a train as we were returning from a conference without realizing that he had left his shoes behind. He finally recovered them. Actually, he is a man who is extremely effective as a missionary, as a teacher, as a minister. And those of us who know him well, as I do, appreciate him not only for the fruitfulness of his work, but for who he is as a person. So it is a special privilege to me to introduce you to him and him to you. And after the anthem by the choir, he will bring our message.
Twenty years ago this month, my wife and I were appointed missionaries to Japan. Now, after an unanticipated emergency furlough, we're looking forward to returning to Japan next month. Every time we come back to the States, there are those who ask questions like these. Are you going back again? Haven't you put in enough time over there? Aren't you about ready to settle down over here now? Briefly, let me state why, God willing, we are returning to Japan. First, we are returning to Japan because the need is still overwhelming. We are keenly aware that the field is the world, that America itself is a mission field, that there are anti-Christian forces at work in this nation which threaten to engulf it. Still, we can't take our eyes off the need in Japan. Here is a nation with over 100 million people, half the population of the United States, in which the professing Christians number only a little less than 1%. Always one is confronted with the masses, masses of people without Christ, but people for whom Christ died. To be sure, progress is painfully slow in light of the need, but it is to be remembered that the number of Christians, or percentage of Christians, has doubled in the post-war years, and that during the same period of time, the number of Christians related to the Japan Baptist Convention has jumped from 1,600 to 20,000, a growth rate of 1,250%. Boasting the highest economic growth rate of any nation on earth, and claiming the distinction of being the world's third largest industrial power, Japan, like the United States, is grappling with the problems of urbanization, industrialization, depersonalization, materialism, secularism, air pollution, poverty in the midst of affluence. How wonderful it would be if the Japanese people were brought to the foot of the cross and then used their boundless energy and resourcefulness in bringing the rest of the Orient and indeed the world to Christ. Second, we are returning to Japan because the door is still open and because there is still a response. 20 years ago, all one needed to do to get a crowd for an evangelistic meeting was to go about the streets of a city with a loudspeaker announcing the services. Usually the auditorium would be filled. And at least once it happened that the largest auditorium in the city of Urawa was filled to capacity 30 minutes before the service began, and people were standing on the outside banging on the doors to get in. That day has long since passed. But this does not mean that the door to Japan has closed or that the opportunity for the gospel has passed. Most of the people who come to the churches now come through the invitation of those who have cared enough to invite them personally. If inquirers are fewer in number, it can probably be said that those who come have less mixed motives and that a larger percentage of them fall on to baptism and church membership. If you have visions of preaching to the multitudes, you will probably be disappointed if you come to Japan. Occasionally, opportunities of this kind may present themselves, but more often your opportunities will be in worship services in small congregations, in Bible classes, or in student groups, or in meetings of neighbors and friends in a home, or in contact with individuals in the home or the church or the school. The new constitution adopted at the close of the war guarantees separation of church and state and complete religious freedom. The one who seeks to propagate the gospel in Japan encounters indifference and the hostility of the family system and the old and new religions, but no organized persecution. How many Christians in other lands must envy us for the religious freedom which we enjoy in Japan? Japan is the second most literate nation in the world, and the Japanese people are avid readers of newspapers and magazines. There is hardly a home without a TV set, not to mention a radio. All means of mass communication and personal witness available in the 20th century are open to us if only we have the financial resources, the vision, and the dedication to use them. It is true that there are strident voices calling missionary go home. Most of this opposition is based on intense nationalism or resentment concerning America's role in the Vietnam War or a keen awareness that we have not solved our racial problems. Still, I can say that in the 20 years that we have served as missionaries in Japan, only once has anyone treated me discourteously because I was an American, and that person was a drunk. If there are voices shrieking, "Missionary, go home," there are many others who, in more subdued tones but no less sincere tones, are saying, "Come over and help us." Year after year, bona fide requests from pastors and churches, for help from missionaries in the education program or the music program of the church, or in pioneer evangelism, go unmet, because the demand for missionaries far exceeds the number of missionaries available. We are sometimes asked, how many Southern Baptist churches do you have in Japan? Always I answer, none. This leaves the questioner dumbfounded until I go on to explain that though we don't have any Southern Baptist churches, we have 136 Japan Baptist churches and 112 mission points of Japan Baptist churches. You see, we have an independent Baptist convention. And though the Southern Baptist Convention enjoys warm fraternal relations with the Japan Baptist Convention, this is never to be interpreted in terms of colonialism or paternalism. Presently, the whole program of the Japan Baptist Convention and mission convention relationships are being subjected to penetrating scrutiny. There are loud voices clamoring for self-support and for more involvement in social issues. And these are legitimate concerns if they are not allowed to cloud or overshadow the vision of winning the Japanese people to commitment to Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. These are thrilling days for service in this land, and I'm eager to return because I feel a keen sense of identification with the Christian witness in Japan and a desire to be involved. We sometimes hear it said that the day of the missionary is over in Japan. If by the day of the missionary we mean the day when the missionary sat in the driver's seat, directing evangelistic policy, controlling funds, and manipulating people according to his purpose, that day is certainly over and ought to be. But this does not mean that the day has passed when the missionary can work along with his Japanese partners, Japanese Christians, as partners under the one living Lord. Despite the difficulties which missionaries face, I believe that for a long time to come, there will be a place of fruitful service in Japan for those who have a complete dedication to Christ, a genuine love for the Japanese people, and a flexibility which makes them able to adapt the verities of the gospel to the changing scene. Third, we are returning to Japan because missionary service in this land is both demanding and thrilling. Bob, we've sacrificed to help you get an education, and now you want to take it and throw it all away. These were among the words that my dad addressed to me when I told my parents that I felt that God was calling me as a missionary to Japan. But I have never felt that I was throwing my life away. Rather, day after day, I'm given the opportunity to live it to the fullest. The challenges demand my best, but there have been many times when I felt that my best is not enough. Never have I found myself longing for opportunities equal to my gifts. But again and again, I've had to pray for strength equal to my opportunities. Since April of 1953, I've been professor of theology in the theological department of Seinen Ongakuin University in Fukuoka. This is our Baptist seminary in Japan. In this capacity, it has been my privilege to teach about 70% of the present pastors of the Japan Baptist Convention. What does it matter if classes are small? John R. Broadus prepared his famous preparation and delivery of sermons for one student. Smaller classes opened the way for more effective teaching. The perennial problem is that of maintaining a responsible scholarship which, while true to the gospel and warmly evangelistic in tone, is relevant to the needs of a changing society in a world embroiled in revolution. Serving as missionary in Japan presents one with the opportunity of trying to communicate the gospel to those who have never heard before. Never will I forget the testimony which Mr. Masaaki Kobayashi, my colleague on the seminary faculty, gave prior to his being ordained for the gospel ministry. After telling some of the privations which he and his family had endured during the war, he spoke of the warm Christian spirit of a young man who gave a radiant testimony concerning Christ while he was being ridiculed by his fellow workers in a DDT factory. Invited by this young man to church, Mr. Kobayashi went to church and heard the gospel for the first time. The preacher that day was a Nisei in the American Army of Occupation. His Japanese was hardly understandable, but his sincerity was evident. His text was John 3:16. And Mr. Kobayashi, as he was giving his testimony, began to read this passage. Kami wa sono hitori go tamau horo ni kono yo aishitamairi. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He got this far. His eyes filled with tears and his voice choked up. And for a moment, he could go no further. For he was reliving the experience which came to him when first he heard these wonderful words. Words which we have heard all of our lives and have come to take for granted. During the time that I have been teaching in the seminary, my wife and I have had the privilege of having a part in the beginning of three Baptist churches. The Hirao Baptist Church began in our home where it met for 5 years. The Kitakyushu Baptist Church was begun by another missionary. But when the schooling needs of his children made it necessary for this missionary to move to another city, I was called as the pastor of this young mission and served it until it was organized as a self-supporting church and called a Japanese pastor. In May of 1966, along with a seminary student and two ladies from the Hirao Baptist Church, my wife and I began a mission in the Nagazumi area of the city of Fukuoka. Here was an area of from 10 to 12,000 people with no church or Christian witness of any kind. From the beginning, it has been my joy to serve as pastor of this mission and to watch its slow, steady growth. In the summer of last year, through the witness of this mission, Miss Akiko Kawakami, a senior at Seinan Gakuin University, accepted Christ as her Savior and was baptized in the fall. She became a radiant Christian, and the difference which Christ made in her life transformed the atmosphere of her home. Her mother started attending the worship services, and like a flower opening to the sun, her heart opened to Jesus. In the spring of this year, she gave her heart to Christ and was baptized in August. Now her prayer is that Christ will so permeate her life and that of her daughter that her husband, who is hostile to the Christian faith, will also be led to Christ. Opportunities for Christian witness in pioneer situations such as these give one the privilege of preaching the gospel to those who've never heard before and seeing the Christian faith through the eyes of new converts. The joy and gratitude which they exhibit communicates the message, "Thank you for coming. If you had not come, I might never have heard." Trying to communicate the hidden riches of Christ to seminary students whose thirst for knowledge and passion for truth is insatiable, and at the same time trying to stay close to the simple verities of the gospel and present them effectively to people who are hearing it for the first time. These two concerns make missionary service for me both demanding and thrilling. Who is sufficient for these things? Our sufficiency is from God. Fourth, we are returning to Japan because God's call to us still rings loud and clear. On a missionary day service in the chapel of Southern Baptist Seminary, December 12, 1945, I heard Dr. Maxfield Garrett, missionary to Japan, read a letter from a Japanese Christian girl. The letter read something like this: "The Japanese people are not an especially wicked people. They are a misguided people. Oh, America, blessed nation, send us shepherds for the sheep." The Lord used this letter, this Japanese Christian girl, to speak directly to my heart. My response, "I'll go," climaxed a period of seeking for God's will as to whether or not I should be a missionary. Again and again, God has called me back to this experience. He has given joy as I've sought to serve in Japan. Every time I've been faced with opportunities of service over here, He has made me miserable inside until my vision has been reclarified and my commitment to the propagation of the gospel in Japan has been renewed. Now, it is no more worthy, more praiseworthy to go than it is to stay if each of us is in the place where the Lord wants him to be. But let us not too easily assume that it's God's will for us to stay until first we have considered the possibility that it might be His will for us to go. A call comes ringing over the restless wave for heralds of Christ to bear the King's commands. Immortal tidings in our mortal hands. Do you hear the call? Joyfully we return. Thank you for making it possible for us to go. Let us pray. O God, through no merit of our own, we have been born in a land where we've had the opportunity of hearing and heeding the gospel. Make us faithful, we pray, in carrying out the great commission of our Lord, to the end that those who have never had an opportunity to hear may hear.